Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where we try to bring you lots of different angles on real estate that you maybe never knew even existed. Today, I'm super excited to bring you Margaret Martin. She is from Dothan, Alabama. And Margaret, you have to remind me about why I've heard of Dothan. Was it in an Alabama song at some point?
Oh, wow. Well, I know in the Bible, there's, you know, go to Dothan. But as far as a song, I'm not sure.
I'm going to have to look it up. There's something that brings Dothan to me besides my Old Testament, but I'll have to look it up. But I'm so pleased that you came on the show with us today.
Thank you. I'm really excited.
Tell the world a little bit about who you are and just a little bit of background so they know who they're talking to.
Okay. Well, my name is Margaret Martin, as you said, and I am here in Dothan, Alabama. I have a small board. Seems like a big board to me when I'm trying to manage it, but it's a small board, around 260 realtors, about 400 in my MLS. And I didn't start down the path of becoming an association executive. I kind of stepped into it sideways. I was working in the dental field and ended up, I'm very klutzy. So I tore my rotator cuff. Well, it became difficult with the dental practice, and I was looking for something else. And one of my dentist's wife is a realtor. And down here in the South, we have accents. You know that, Lee.
And she I don't have an accent. What are you talking about?
Well, I don't hear it.
No, they have one up north, but it's not ours. Mm-mm.
Exactly. No, we talk normal. Anyway, so her name is Evelyn, and she came to me, and my name, Margaret, when she says it, has about 10 syllables. So she says, Margaret, have I got a job for you? So I started working here at the association office under an association executive who had been here for 18 years. Very, very interesting lady. She was single. She was from up north. I'm not real sure how she got down here. She was going deaf and had a lot of health problems. And she was a real heavy smoker, smoked in the office. Very difficult work environment. But I stuck it out. I was her assistant for a couple of years. She passed away at work.
Oh, in the office? Were you there?
Well, she had a heart attack or a stroke at work. I called the ambulance. They came and got her, and so I was kind of working in her shoes for a while she was gone. Well, she never came back. She did pass away. That's how my wonderful career as an association executive began. I am now pinned through all of my Alabama AEs. They call me the Black Widow. They say you better watch out. If Margaret wants your job, you're done for.
I will say that I've had the pleasure of meeting hundreds of association executives, and you're the only one I know of that inherited her job through the death of her predecessor, like in the office.
Well, yeah. Pretty good. You know, that's how we do things down here in the South. You kind of inherit.
You did already mention you didn't know how she landed in Dothan and she's never left. Well, is that how you leave Dothan? You have to die to get out of there?
Apparently so. I've always heard that if you wanted to get to heaven, you had to go through Atlanta Airport first from Dothan. That's true. But yeah, it's just a real weird story. And I've been here now for 14 years, and I've actually got a few members that that like me. So I must be doing something right. I enjoy it. It's a different thing every day. You know, you're an event planner. You're a travel broker. You listen to stories from your members about their life, their spouses, their children. And it's just it's an all over the place kind of job. It's very hard to explain what you do to someone because there's so much. I don't think that anybody would really believe sometimes what all is involved with being an association executive. You got to believe in your members. You've got to hold your members up. And I think we're pretty good at doing that here. Like I said, we have a small association. I have a wonderful assistant, Emma. She's my right hand and she keeps me straight. But we have a real close relationship with all of our members, and we like to have a good time down here in the South.
So what was the biggest surprise you found moving from dentistry to association life? But, you know, there actually are some parallels. I mean, in a dentist office, you see people periodically, whether they want to or not, like our members show up to pay their dues, and they vanish to an extent, and you probably have some junkies that enjoy having their teeth cleaned. So what was the biggest surprise for you changing fields?
Oh, my goodness. Changing fields. When I worked in dentistry, I was told by a lady who had been there for quite some time that you never want to mess with somebody's children or their money. And that was what we did there in dentistry. You know, you messed with their children, you upset their children, and then you asked for money as they walked away with a screaming child. In working with realtors, I've also dealt with a lot of screaming children. Yeah, don't repeat
Bless
that.
Them.
Oh, I forgot we're recording.
It's okay. We did not name names, but they know who they are.
That's right. That's right. They can all assume. But my youngest child, when I started here, Lane was probably around 6 years old, I think. And I guess you don't pay attention to a lot of times what you say around your children. And someone asked me one time about my job and how I enjoyed running an adult daycare center, because apparently my child had heard me complain and talk about running an adult daycare center. So I had to change that and tell them that, no, I work for the Realtors Association, and no, they're not children, but just ignore him. He's got an imagination. So, yeah, I mean, that's the parallels. You're taking care of somebody. You kind of seeing somebody through the difficult times, and being a realtor definitely has its difficult times, whether it's, you know, day to day or leadership. You know, leadership, they come in here and you might actually have someone that's your boss that has never been in a management situation before in their lives. So you kind of, you have to adapt. You have to adapt every year. It's a little different. Somebody has a different management style than you do. You've got to adapt.
So I had an interesting conversation with an association executive who shall remain nameless and a board that shall remain nameless. And she told me that the hardest thing about her job is that at any time you could have the rug pulled out from under you and lose it based on who is in leadership at the time and what their opinions are, and you can't control it. And so she felt like she's, even though she's in a place that she loves, with members that she loves, she feels like she walks on eggshells. Have you experienced the same thing?
There's some folks out there, if you upset them, if you, you know, charge them a late fee for, you know, you're on the list. So you have to be very careful. And, you know, how we all go away to AE Institute every year, or we go to training and we come back to our associations feeling all refreshed with all of these new ideas and techniques of doing this and that. And you come back and you try to share it with your members and they think, who is this person? What is she trying to do to us? No, we like things the way they are. So yeah, that's hard. It's hard trying to get change going, get the ball rolling. You know, people are scared of change. It's hard. So yes, I totally agree with walking on eggshells. Got to be, you got to kiss a lot of babies and shake a lot of hands.
So that's probably an angle you didn't expect, the whole political angle when you came in thinking about how do you provide member benefits and how do you convey exactly what the association is. It's just another layer on top of things. And I think that realtors forget that when they get on their little rants about, well, what does the association do for me? They forget that y'all are there to serve your members, but you do have to walk a thin line because some people get power hungry in a volunteer position, which blows my mind.
Yeah. You know, a couple of years ago, and I'm sure that you've been to leadership every year. It's in August in Chicago, and it's for the AE and the incoming president for the next year. Mm-hmm. Well, they started doing this Leadership 200 and Leadership 300 a day or two, you know, before the actual leadership summit begins. And that, quite honestly, was the best thing since sliced bread. It's the best thing NAR has ever done for an AE and an incoming president. You go into this sitting down with all of your peers, and they go through this program that clearly defines the lines. You know, the board of directors is for governance. The association executive and the staff are for management. So in other words, you know, when I'm trying to hire a plumber, don't get involved.
Right.
you know, when I'm having to deal with an employee, don't get involved. And it, like I said, it clearly defines that. And it's so wonderful starting out like that. I actually have what I call a prenup. And I sit down with my incoming president and go over, you know, how do you like to be contacted? You know, are there certain days that are sacred to you that you don't want to talk to me? What's your favorite color? What do you do to relax you? Stuff like that. We get that kind of relationship going, and you can pretty much tell within the first couple of months before they take office whether you're going to have a smooth year or you're going to be walking on eggshells. The AE has to be very adaptable. We're the gecko of the professional world, always changing colors to fit in.
So knowing that you can't control your incoming leaders, you can just manage them. What's the craziest thing you've seen an incoming leader do? And did they adapt and get a little better once they saw behind the curtain?
Well, you know, actually, I had one time a committee chair, not so much a president, but a committee chair for the year who, for the very first year, we actually made a profit off of our CE that year. You know, normally we don't try to make any money off of it. It's a service for the members. But we actually brought in some really good instructors and had a lot of people sign up and made some money. Well, this committee chair wanted to know if we could rent a condo down at Panama City Beach with what was left over and have a party just for the committee.
Okay. So we're a nonprofit. We can't keep the money. So let's go spend it.
Exactly. Let's throw a big party for the committee who pulled this off. And, you know, we're right here on the Redneck Riviera. So They wanted to, you know, we're probably about an hour and 15 minutes from Panama City Beach. So, yeah, they just wanted to go rip it up at Panama City Beach for the weekend on the members' dime. And so that's the kind of stuff occasionally that you've got to talk down. You know, just, you know, talk them off that ledge, that crazy ledge. And, you know, Lee, that also goes with fundraising. Sometimes you have to remind your members that we are not a civic organization, that, you know, we are a professional. We are a professional association. So, you know, we don't need to be out there selling Girl Scout cookies in the realtor's name and, you know, that sort of thing.
Wait. Why would they want to do these fundraisers? What leads somebody to want to do it?
You know, it's a personal thing. Sometimes somebody comes in here and, you know, their church is real involved with, you know, House of Ruth or throwing baby showers for, you know, teenage mothers, stuff like that. And, you know, they want to bring that in and have that be a program for the entire association that year. And that's the kind of stuff that you've got to monitor. And you might have to grab your army together and say, okay, guys, we cannot let this happen. That's hard. That's really hard keeping your cool in situations like that. Because like I said, our jobs as association executives are fundraisers, event planners, accountants, attorneys. You know, we do so much every day that we definitely don't need to be going into these other avenues that are for civic organizations.
Not unless, you know, it's got a specific reason and a play into the mission statement and strategic plan of the organization.
Exactly. And that's something you've got to do sometimes is pull out your strategic plan and say, okay, so where is it in the strategic plan that we're going to go sell Boston Butts?
Oh, so there's where we'll wrap up our episode here is talking about butts. But, you know, I will tell you that the Gaston Association of Realtors in North Carolina, of which I am a member, that's our best RPAC fundraiser every year is we have a member, Moises Miranda, who's brilliant on the smoker. We smoke butts and sell them, and that's our RPAC fundraiser. We hit goal every year.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, we started our benevolent fund for our realtors, you know, realtors in need. We actually started that with a Boston butt sale. That's how we funded that account. And it's always funny because we ended up with so much meat, nobody knew what to do with it. But so I'm glad. I'm happy for y'all that it works. We haven't had much luck with it here.
I think maybe you need Moises to come down and show you how to smoke it better. I mean, but maybe, yeah, this would be in that.
Yes. Yeah.
We could loan him out. But this is hashtag things people on the West Coast don't understand why they're listening to this podcast. But we appreciate them listening. So if anybody wants to ask you a question about dentistry or your association executive life, how can they reach out to you?
Oh my gosh. Find me on Facebook, Margaret Martin, or Dothan Association of Realtors on Facebook. And of course, my email, margaret@dothanrealtors.com.
And of course, if you're in motion while you're listening to this episode, never fear, because Margaret's contact information will be in the show notes for this episode. Margaret, thank you for coming on the show along and telling us why you're the Black Widow of real estate. And now we know to be very careful with you. So if you're listening to this, if you're a realtor, broker, investor, inspector, lender, or a normal person who's got a real estate story to share, hit me up at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks to be featured in a future episode. And we will see you next time. Thanks for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.